Welcome, welcome. Spirit and of God, oh, blessed is He.
Yeah. On to the 32nd verse tonight. And it is written, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderate, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts had eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, my great army which I send among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed." I call your attention to the scripture here tonight. For the message outpouring of the Holy Spirit. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaid in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord." "Name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord had said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. You may be seated. "And I will pour out my spirit." Yes. Our second message tonight, on the subject of final outpouring of the Holy Ghost for rapture power. This outpouring of the Holy Ghost is becoming more popular than I could imagine. Brother from Arizona wrote me today, open up his letter. He said, "Brother Bruce, thank you for those messages on the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Please send me 100 copies of the necessity of the Holy Ghost for the rapture. I will pay the cost. Because I have to send this to my contacts overseas." Yes, he will certainly have it. Well, people, they are waking up to the reality of another outpouring of the Spirit. And I truly believe that it is the doing of the Lord. I believe that the right time has come. It has dawned upon the face of the earth that the Lord is really revealing himself to his people. And tonight, in our second message of final outpouring of the Holy Ghost for rapture power, I thought that I will read the rest of the scripture in Joel 2, as I promised last night that I wanted to do a little more justice to the scriptures concerning the outpouring of the Spirit. If you are looking for a scripture to prove another outpouring of the Holy Ghost, go always to Joel 2. 23, and always include the outpouring of the Spirit in the rest of the verses on to the 32nd chapter. And if people want to contend and say that that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and isolate that scripture only to the day of Pentecost, because Brother Peter said, this is that which was spoken of by Joel the prophet. In the last days I shall pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Let them know that the interpretation of Brother Branham says, yes, that is true, I shall pour out my Spirit upon all flesh in the last days. And there is only 2 days, as far as God is concerned. Amen. In 2,000 years, I will continue to pour out my Spirit. Amen. Yes, sir. And you will knock them out by this out here. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And it says, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. So this prophecy held for the day of Pentecost, and it also holds for the latter day outpouring of the Holy Ghost, because the moon did not turn into blood after the day of Pentecost, and the sun was not darkened, and then the stars did not fall from heaven. And then the great and the terrible day of the Lord did not come. Amen. Now the great and the terrible day of the Lord is going to come today after the preaching of Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Amen. Behold, I send unto Elijah the prophet before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. It says the dreadful day of the Lord come. So now it is speaking of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit before the day comes the second coming of the Lord, when he comes in judgment. Amen. And then you always tie that scripture over to 2 Thessalonians 7 and 10. Yes, and unto you who are troubled, rest with us. Amen. When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, amen, to take vengeance upon them that believe not. Yes. So now this is that judgment ministry, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe our testimony in that day, a day that is coming down the road. So now that is hooking up the judgment ministry of the Lord by another outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, it is marvelous. So that scripture is the basis upon which the prophet, preached another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And if you notice the consistency in the preaching of Brother Branham concerning this outpouring, he never did let up. He started preaching that way back in the early days, and then continually remind the church from 1950, 51, 52, right down the line, until 1965, about the time that he was ready to depart, he reminded the church of another outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So So if people want to think that is only some old quotes that we are using and that has already passed, they are deceived of the devil. Amen. And if people want to contend that that is some quotes from the church age which was edited, then they are wrong because we are quoting from right through the message.
Amen.
So now this scripture is the main scripture for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it is said there concerning the former and the latter rain.
Amen.
We may pick this up if I reach that far tonight, and we would save time. Then the next scripture concerning restoration is the scripture in Matthew 17 and 11, which says, truly, I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall restore all things. Yes, sir. So now that's a scripture of restoration. And when we see Elijah came on the scene, it was the ministry of restoration. It was a time that God was going to restore all that the cankerworm and the caterpillar and all that the palmer worm ate throughout the seven church ages. These are four great organizations that rose up and changed the word of the Lord. The Lutheran, and then, you know, we have the Methodist, and we have the Pentecostal, and of course, the Catholic Church. And them great worms came into the church and took away the word of God, and then, deceived the people of God. But the Lord said that he was going to restore by Elijah the prophet.
Amen.
And how many believe Elijah did come?
Amen.
Well, then we are living in a time of restoration.
Amen.
And in this time of restoration, you know, Elijah the prophet had to be here. And then Joel 2:23-25 was going to be fulfilled along with the other scriptures, because I believe that Joel carries a compound meaning. Yes, of an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And then I would not deal with the next scripture here tonight, Malachi 4:6. It speaks of turning the hearts of the fathers, the children, to the fathers in one way, and then in the end time here, turn the hearts of the fathers, the children, to the fathers. Children, us, to the fathers. That's Pentecostal fathers. All right, the fathers of the gospel was the apostles. And then Malachi 4 was to come in the end time here and turn our hearts back to Pentecost.
Amen.
So, I had a quotation. Let me see. All right. It's a kind of a ticklish subject there. But people don't understand what it means to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. After following this message for decades.
Amen.
For decades, they don't understand what it means to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And I will tell you here tonight, this simply means to take the church back to Pentecost.
Amen.
For another Pentecostal blessing.
Amen.
And what I said there, I could prove it by the words of the prophet of God. I had some quotations praying around here. But the prophet of God said to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers is to bring again another Acts 2.
Amen.
Acts 2 have to do with a sound from heaven and a mighty rushing wind and a return of Pentecost.
Amen.
So that's enough if I don't deal with that later. So we dealt with some great quotations last night. And what I am trying to do is to put in front here to you the teachings of the prophet concerning another outpouring of the Spirit. Now, we have spoken for a long time, but now we want to tie this thing down in the Bible. And I have done that tonight with three major scriptures concerning restoration. There are only three major scriptures concerning restoration in the Bible. All other scriptures are types and shadows. Which you can preach restoration from Genesis to Revelation, but there are three major scriptures in the Bible that is putting on to restoration in the end time.
And this is worth repeating. Restoration is not only back to Pentecost. It is back to Eden. Back to Eden. And we are going back. That is why the end time bride must have a speak the word ministry. Because it's a restoration back to Eden. You understand what I mean? Yes, Adam had a speak the word ministry. Yes, by the thoughts he called the animals. By the thoughts he called the birds. Yes, he could remove mountain by the spoken word. He had dominion. Yes, over the whole earth. Over the animals, over the cattle, over every single thing. He had dominion. Yes, and power over them. If he did not like how the river ran, he could turn the course of the river. If he did not like that mountain there, he could turn it and put it in another direction. My God, we want that kind of a power. And what the Lord is demonstrating in the end time here is speak the word power that Adam had in the Garden of Eden. Yes, speak to this mountain. Yes. And we are going to do that. Yes, every unbeliever better read and run. Because we believe this thing. We believe this thing. It was preached by the prophet. It is written in the word of God. And we are contending for that. So, you see, sometime in Africa or India somewhere, somebody may not have gotten the full statement. Then, you see, you've got a background a little bit. Put in a little something in case that tape falls into the hands of a brother. He know what we are talking about. So be a little patient with me. All right. The name of this message I already announced. And I am saying here that this is going to go into a book called Chapter 40, book number 14, EUDH. And the name of that book is going to be somewhat like the title I announced. And it starts thus. The scriptures declare that there is a final outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come upon the Gentile bride for her quickening unto the rapture. This is an irrefutable doctrinal fact established by the prophet William Branham, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, Revelation 10, 7, in his message to the Christian church. The prophet was confident about his God-given mission to the church and knew that he was sent with the message of truth that will restore all things. He based his teaching upon three major prophecies of the Bible pertinent to restoration. Matthew 17, 11 and 12, Elias shall truly first come and restore all things. Joel 2, 23, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain, and I will restore. Malachi 4, 5 and 6, and each one of us know that scripture, but the sixth verse says, he shall turn the hearts of the father of the children to the fathers. The word was restored, but the fullness of Pentecost was not restored. The foundation was laid by the revealed word, and the elect of God are being made ready for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The prophet was fully conscious of his mission and expressed it on many of his sermons. He taught that the 1906 Azusa Street Pentecostal outpouring was not the real outpouring and fullness of Pentecost. He emphasized the necessity of another outpouring for translation power. For the end time bride, for the first resurrection of the sleeping saints, for the bride's revival, supernatural manifestations of the third pole, and speak the word power by the manifested sons of God. Romans 8, 19 to 23. We believe in the manifested sons of God. Yes. My precious brother there in Arizona, Vince Paiola, he is about 80-something years of age. I opened up the letter, and man, he had several pages there with only manifested sons of God quotations. He's looking for these manifested sons of God. And if an old man like that could look for it, my brother, what about us here tonight? We are looking for the manifested sons of God. Yes, sir. So, speaking of the prophet here, he declared the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit by several terminologies, and earnestly, desperately, and anxiously looked for its fulfillment. However, like Moses, he was not privileged to see it. It is evident from the teachings of the prophet, which follows, that the church must of necessity have a final outpouring of the Holy Ghost for her final quickening unto the rapture.
Amen.
Without this work of grace, the bride would remain earthbound.
Amen.
It can be readily observed that the prophet in his teaching also termed the promised outpouring of the Spirit as follows. Restoration, latter rain, harvest rain, final quickening, fullness of Pentecost, rapture in faith. The same terminologies were used on other sermons of the prophet. This has caused a great deal of confusion, and several heresies were born, as intellectual men separated such terminologies to represent other ideas, and not the latter-day outpouring of the Spirit or fullness of Pentecost. To prove this fact, quotations I employed from earlier and later tapes after the seal. Now that's the outline, and I challenge the world to believe it. I challenge the world to refute what I am saying here, and not what I am saying, but I am presenting to the world the teachings of Brother Branham concerning another outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So these are not my words, but the words of the prophet, and if anybody wants to fight this, then fight the prophet. Yes, sir. So a little something again that I will tie here on the second message for the edification of our brethren abroad, although it was spoken last night. All that I said there is that restoration was for the end time bride, and she must return to Pentecost. And the fullness of the Holy Ghost must come upon her, the translator. Yes, Malachi 4 was sent with that mission.
Amen.
And he presented that mission in his teachings. All right. Now, in his teachings, he did not only use the word outpouring, but he used other words to describe this outpouring of the Spirit that is coming.
Amen.
This has tied up the minds of the wise and the prudent, because this thing is hidden from them and revealed unto babes and suckling, such as would learn. And Jesus done the same thing. Jesus preached an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come under different terminologies. Now, John the Baptist preached an outpouring of the Holy Ghost to come under a different terminology. And his terminology was, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Is that right? And when Jesus started preaching, the Bible said that he started preaching the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven, same thing. And then he started to preach the kingdom of God. Nobody understood what was the kingdom of God. They thought it was the millennium reign that was going to start. That's what the Jews was looking for. But he was preaching the kingdom of heaven. That is none other than the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus used different terminology. So I put this here. The Lord Jesus, before the day of Pentecost, used various terminologies to preach the oncoming outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Father, number one. The kingdom of God, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. I and my Father. Rivers of living waters. The gift of God. The rest, which is the Sabbath. Holy Ghost, anointed. Head of the corner, or cornerstone.
Amen.
All these things are scriptural. They are in your Bible, in the New Testament. You see, if I go to prove all of those terminologies, you know, it will take me another hour to do that. But if you are reading your Bible, you know very well that I am quoting from John 14, John 16, and various other scriptures. I'm quoting from Acts 1. Yes, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, tarry in Jerusalem until be endued with power from on high. Is that right? And when the day of Pentecost was come, my brother, they showed a sound from heaven, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So there are different terminologies. And then Jesus spoke of rivers of waters. Yes, sir. In chapter 7 of St. John. Yes, sir. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And there are other terminologies which I leave out. He called it by another name when he spoke to the woman at the well of Samaria.
Yeah.
He called it a wellspring of water.
Yeah.
Bring it up into eternal life. But all was pertinent to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
My God.
how God could fool people. How he could fool the wise and the prudent. Yes, sir. And then the early church, after the Pentecostal outpouring, used various terminologies to describe the Pentecostal blessing. Filled with the Holy Ghost, seal of God, the promise, the rest, spiritual circumcision, and anointing. And I gave you scriptures to prove that. St. Luke 4:18, anointing. 1 John chapter 2. Now, just as Jesus used different terminologies and the apostles used different terminologies, I am saying in like manner the prophet used several terminologies on his sermons to highlight the promised outpouring of the Spirit. My Lord. Is that right, brethren? By casual examination of such terminologies, it can be readily seen that each major terminology refers to the fullness of Pentecost. This does not include other terminologies which describe the anointing of the Spirit upon the flesh and spirit of men. The main focus is upon the fullness of Pentecost. Terminologies which will be examined are as follows. And here, we dealt with that last night. We dealt with the word outpouring, the terminology outpouring. There were too many quotations. Then we dealt with the terminology of anointing of the Spirit or surge of the Spirit. Prophet of God used some bright language in his own way. Yes, sir. He called it refilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. He typed it out, brothers and sisters, to a motor car. Yes, and he said that the mechanics is the word. And the firepower that comes in the car is the dynamics. He said, and the dynamics is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes. To the church in the end time. So you see, he lived in a modern age, so he used modern terminology. Yes, sir. So then, anointing of the Spirit, surge of the Spirit, and then fullness of the Godhead. And fullness of the Godhead, and then he dealt with the capstone, another terminology. Sometimes he will say headstone. Capstone and headstone mean the same thing. It's the same thing as the piece that fit on top of the pyramid. They call it cap because it's the last stone that go on top of the pyramid. It's called a headstone because it fits on the head of the building. All right. Now, out here, Jesus even called that the cornerstone. You know that? Where did he say that, Brother Bruce? Huh? He said, here it is marvelous. He said, the stone which you builders have rejected has become the head of the corner. And this is marvelous in our eyes. You see? Not the headstone, but the cornerstone. The head of the head, the head of the corner. So now the head of the corner is the cornerstone. But brothers and sisters, the cornerstone and the capstone is one and the same article. Amen. Don't you realize that? Amen. The cornerstone and the capstone is the same article. Amen. And that is the fullness of Pentecost. Amen. Yes. My God, this thing got very sweet. So now the terminology is fullness of the Godhead, the capstone, headstone, and love, that perfect love, and then latter-rain, the token, all these are terminologies of the same outpouring. All right, the kingdom of God, same article. The seal, same article. And then adoption. Now, all these things are great controversies out there, you know, Graham, sir. Great controversies. They say the adoption is something else. Latter-rain is something else. The kingdom of God, well, we can't even talk about that because that's the kingdom of David over there. Yes, headstone is something else. Yeah, token is something else. And they say that some of the preachers have the fullness of the Godhead in them. And they say Brother Branham had the fullness of the Godhead in him. That's a liable devil. Yes. If Brother Branham had the fullness of the Godhead, we supposed to worship him? Because that will make him equal with the Father. But that's a lie of the devil. Yes, sir. So,
Now that is good for the tape. And for those who wasn't here last night, some of the preachers missed this last night. And I tell you, I guess it was hard. Give them the tapes. Let them listen to that. So now, the quotation that I made last night is too numerous to even hit the highlights of it concerning the outpouring of the Spirit. All right? Now, let me just try to put in a few. Just for the brethren, you will find all these quotations that I am going to make on the church age, page 377 to 380. And the prophet of God brought out there, and he said, there must of necessity be a return of dynamic power and a new outpouring. 1906 was not the real outpouring. It was a blessing, it was the gift of God, and that was mixed with devil power. And devils was in control, and men never even knew that. That formed the Pentecostal movement, the so-called Pentecostal movement, up to today, that is controlled by the devil himself. That is why it became a money-making scheme and a money-making racket. It is controlled by the devil. I make no apology for that. The whole of the Pentecostal movement with the so-called full gospel churches is controlled by the devil. Yes. A bunch of money Satan. All right. Okay, he said the people of God is making ready for the fullness of Pentecost. He quoted Joel 2 and he said, that is, thus saith the Lord. He was based on that scripture. He said, God will take the church right back to Pentecost. He said, next comes an outpouring or harvest rain or rapture in faith. These terminologies all concern an outpouring of the Spirit, harvest rain, rapturing faith. He said, the people have the Holy Ghost, but not the outpouring, not the restoration, not the harvest rain. Not the rapture in faith, not the fullness of Pentecost, not the latter rain, which is one and the self-same article, under different terminologies. All right, let me see how far I could reach. I'm trying to double up. All those quotations, the prophet said you could find it in the church age. This one you will find on Super Sign 1959, God claiming flesh on the day of Pentecost. And he is going to come again in like manner in the church. And if you want to know what is evening light message, that is the evening light message. The evening light message is that God is coming to tabernacle in a church in the end time, like he came on the day of Pentecost. So when we are talking about evening light and evening light message, we are talking about back to Pentecost. Yes, sir. Three kinds of believers. There is going to come a sound from heaven, and it is going to be so great in the end time bride that it will rapture her off the earth. Indictment, God promised a great power to the church, and it will manifest the third pole. What is the Holy Ghost given for? Holy Ghost moves, raise the dead, and rapture the bride. Oneness 1962, getting ready for the rapture. Every fiber must be filled with the Holy Ghost. You have just received enough of the Holy Ghost to stop you from lying, cussing, and thieving. Yes, and some even lose that. All right, adoption 1960, born son, filled son, speak the word and they stop diseases. Cancer will be a toothache at that time. Amen. Testimony of a true witness 1961, God tabernacled in man. Yes, sir. And when he speaks, is the same as God speaks. True sign overlooked 1961, people don't know about this great promise of God. People don't know what the Holy Ghost is. It is God hiding in man. Spoken word 1962, God, they cannot wait for the Holy Ghost outpouring. They've got to manufacture something. If they had the Holy Ghost like the apostles had it, the world will be under the impact of the Holy Spirit. God of this evil age, the bride is waiting for the promise of the age. Yes, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And when she gets it, every promise will be confirmed.
Amen.
Yes. And then I slip over to the anointing. I hope you're catching my trend.
Amen.
First, I try to quote the prophet and show you what he taught on the outpouring. Then he used another terminology to preach the same outpouring. And he used the word anointing. Under the word anointing, which is the same outpouring, that the message here, speak to this mountain, he said the anointing will strike the whole church of the living God.
Amen.
And when she speaks there, she will create things.
Amen.
And another Joel's army will be produced.
Amen.
Yes, that is in fulfillment of the prophecy. On New Ministry 1959, Brother Branham said there was a deeper, greater anointing coming that will shake the world. All that is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
On the message called Hear Ye Him 1960, Brother Branham said the fullness of the power is going to come to the church and people will speak the word and it will create things. He said, and at that time, critics' mouths will be shut. All right, on the token 1963, he said another surge of the Spirit is going to bring rapture and faith. Come on, are you enjoying this thing?
Yes.
If you miss it last night, refresh your mind.
Amen.
Hear ye him, Brother Branham said, the fullness of power. Yes, is going to anoint people, and they will speak the word and bring things into existence.
Amen.
In their trip, 1954, he said, the church will go forth in power, with God hiding in them, deity tabernacle in human flesh.
Amen.
And deity will be revealed in human beings.
Amen.
Revelation, Book of Symbols, 1956. He said, the Holy Ghost will shine as you have never seen it in the Church of the Living God.
Yes.
All right. We drop over to another terminology called fullness of the Godhead.
Yes.
This is the same old poem he's talking about, but under different terminology. Yes, sir. On the tape called Hear Ye Him, 1960, he said, all the power that was in Christ will be in the church.
Amen.
Yes, and they will speak the word. They'll be full of the Holy Ghost. Yes, it will draw the dead from the grave. And it will rapture the church.
Amen.
For the rapture, we need the fullness of the Godhead in the church.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Hebrews 19:57. He said, the same fullness, the same spirit that was in Christ. You will have that spirit, the fullness of the Godhead must be in you that was in Christ, or you will never go in the rapture.
Amen.
That is a knockout.
Amen.
You will never go in the rapture unless you get the fullness of the Godhead.
Amen.
Show me a man, my brother, show me a church with the fullness of the Godhead.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And wallowing in sin, you're dead hypocrite, you.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. God's secondfold purpose is to bring the Godhead into the bride. The fullness of the Godhead into the bride. The mighty God unveiled 1964. He said, God in man, God in man. And then the whole fullness of the Godhead comes down into the entire church. Yes, Christ is the mystery. Christ is the mystery again. The fullness of the Godhead, the fullness of God will manifest every promise of God. Right. Christ revealed in his own word, 1965. Still preaching that promise of God. He said, God promised to manifest his fullness in the church of God.
Amen.
How many feel that was quick?
Amen.
All right. That was quick enough. Now, that brought us now to another terminology.
Amen.
And I hope that you are catching my thoughts.
Amen.
All right? You are catching my thoughts. I am preaching the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes, and Brother Branham used different terminologies, just like Jesus, just like the apostles, in order to preach this final outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And although he used different terminology, is the very same article.
Yes.
So just remember, final outpouring. And you cover all the terminologies. All right. Now that bring me right down here to other terminologies which I will deal with some tonight. And if I don't finish tonight, I will come on another day. If you want, you could stay home tomorrow. So other terminologies include headstone. And that ties in your pyramid. And then it ties in the latter rain. It ties in the token. And it ties in the kingdom of God. So now what I am saying in advance, friend, if you miss me along the way, is that Brother Branham preached the outpouring of the Holy Spirit using the terminology headstone.
Amen.
He preached the same outpouring of the Holy Spirit by preaching the pyramid.
Yes.
Statue of a perfect man.
Yes.
He preached the same outpouring of the Holy Ghost and called it latter rain.
Amen.
He preached the same thing and called it the token.
Amen.
Which is one of the greatest messages Brother Branham ever preached. Concerning the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but did not use the terminology outpouring there. Alright? And then he preached it, you may not notice, but Brother Branham preached the outpouring of the Holy Spirit under the terminology Kingdom of God. And then there are other terminologies. One of them is a wide scope. I don't know if I will even get to touch it. And it is called adoption. Adoption is the same outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes. But in a measure that they never had throughout the church ages. That is why it got to suck the dead from the grave and bring the rapture. You don't understand what we're looking for, brethren? Huh? We ain't looking for no speaking in tongues and dancing in the spirit. My brother, we are looking for a power in the end time to change our bodies. That is what we're looking for. People don't understand. If the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, it shall quicken your mortal bodies by the same spirit that dwelt in him. That is what I am preaching about. That is what the church is looking for. That is what we want today. That is what we must have. This is the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is the fullness of the Godhead bodily that raised Jesus from the dead. Must dwell in you. My Lord. This is the thing. Let me prove that to you in 2 minutes. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus. And when he died, it caused him to raise from the dead. Is that right? When he rose again from the dead, he was upon the earth for 40 days. And it carried him away in a rapture. That is it. Right there. You and I need what was inside of Jesus to raise us from the dead if we die. And if we are living, we need the same thing to change our mortal bodies and carry us away in a rapture. My God. The thing that dwells in Jesus is the secret of the rapture. It is rapture and faith. Don't you see why Brother Branham called it rapture and faith? The thing that dwelt in Jesus is the secret of the resurrection. And the secret of the rapture. But there was a deeper secret to it. How to access that fullness of the Godhead. There is a secret to it. And that is tied up in the seven thunders. That is why Brother Branham said the seven thunders will bring again the headstone.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Because the secret is tied up in that. And notice that the thunders is only broken to the public around the time of the rapture. Because the thunders, my brother, brings the headstone, the fullness of the Godhead for the resurrection and for the rapture. I believe a fool shall not err therein. Yes, capitalize upon that scripture. If the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, it shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the same Spirit that dwelt in him. I challenge the whole world tonight upon this subject of the final outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I challenge every message preacher. I challenge my brothers and sisters, every intellectual that has taken, that have taken these terminologies and made it something else. And I am proven by the Word of God is one and the self-same article. And that is another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Cannot change it. All right. I come to the fact here now of the Holy Spirit, the headstone, perfect lover. And I'm going to read what I have written here. It is popularly taught by the majority of message ministers, especially those of the false thunders, that they now possess the capstone or headstone and perfect love, etc. They assume such teaching upon two counts. Number one, that Christ is the Word, the head of the church. See that deception? Christ is the head of the church. So then they say he is the headstone. All right, number two, that the full Word of God was restored by Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Thus the bride is capped by the Word and headstone. Because the Word is God and the Word is Christ. Huh? You see that? You see that smart, slick devil? So now I am taking what Brother Branham taught now on the headstone and proving them all liars. All right, I'm reading here a little bit again. Christ certainly is the Word. The Word was indeed restored by the prophet. But the prophet himself, by the restored Word, said that a headstone is the full power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it will produce a super church. I am presenting to you now, without injecting my words, the teachings of Malachi for William Branham. His teachings on the headstone.
Amen.
I quote, "We have got to be magnetized to that headstone. The headstone is the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
Maybe some didn't hear. We have got to be magnetized to that headstone. The headstone is the Holy Ghost, Christ.
Amen.
And every one of us that's got that magnetism of the Holy Spirit, when that stone strikes the image, the church will flee to it, back into glory. She will be taken up at the rapture of the saints. When she goes forth through that day. 70 weeks of Daniel 1961. Unquote. Isn't the prophet here now saying that a headstone is the Holy Ghost? And when it comes to the bride, is going to rapture her? Isn't the outpouring for the same purpose? Then that makes the headstone and the outpouring and the fullness of the Godhead and the other terminologies one and the self-same article. It is coming to rapture the church. Yes. And if they already have the headstone, brethren, and they had it since 1963, what are they doing on earth? What are they doing on earth?
Huh? Because they're supposed to rapture the church immediately and bring the dead from the grave too. I ain't see no dead walking around. All right. All right. I quote, "What shall I do with Jesus called the Christ? The dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit that we have worked in a small measure while the headstone is coming down to unite with the body. But when that head and body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost would raise her up just exactly. Even the dead that's dead in Christ for hundreds of years ago will rise in the beauty of his holiness and take a flight through the skies." The dynamics is the Holy Spirit. Unquote. Let the prophet speak. I'm not going to inject nothing. This book here, brothers and sisters, when we start quoting here, there is no injection at all. As I am preaching here now, I cannot preach like the book. I can't preach like a book, you know. No preacher should try to preach like a book, you know. Yeah, he will mess up himself. Preach like a preacher. And when you're reading a book, read like the book say read. Yes. That is why, my brother, I could read here and the Holy Spirit could still come and anoint us and you could have a living congregation. Even because, my brother, I am not bound by this book here. I'm drifting with the Spirit. Although I am keeping a guide here, I am drifting with the Spirit. So preaching is something different all entirely. Don't try to preach like a book. All right. Okay. I am proving to you, right here, friends, that the dynamics is the headstone, the full power of the Holy Ghost. That's a return of Pentecost. I'm reading. I'll just go on with it. Tell me, my brother, tell me, my sister, when was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now? When were there ever a time in the history to manifest the time to deliver all nature? Why? Before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, there couldn't have been manifestation. It had to wait till this time. Now all things have been brought, coming, shaping up to a headstone, to the manifestation of the sons of God coming back and the Spirit of God coming into these men so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ till it's joined him and his church together. Amen. All right, I inject one word in here, my brother. Recode the prophet. The headstone is coming to manifest the sons of God. Amen. Where are they? Those of you who have the headstone, where are the manifested sons of God? And what are they manifesting? They got to manifest, speak the word. Yes, but all that you're claiming, they're manifesting adultery and fornication, television and football and cricket. Yes, my dear, get me on my nerves. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That is adoption. And now, friend, it becometh us to fulfill all scriptures. All right. We know that the same ministry that accompanied Jesus Christ by that pillar of fire that had him anointed is accompanying the church today. We need the ministry of Jesus Christ to fit that headstone coming yonder. That's brought the church into a place where the ministry is exactly like it was when Jesus left. All right, next quote. In these last days, the true church bride comes to the headstone, will be the super church. Super church, a super race. As they near the great headstone, they will so much be like him, even they will be in his very image. In the order to be united with him, they will be one.
They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Now, uncle, I did not make a mistake there when I quote just now. The church age that was edited by Dr. Vail changed these words here. And it says that when as we near him. But Brother Branham, I quote directly from spoken word, is the original seed. And you could compare that with church age page 170-71 with this quotation here. Brother Branham said it this way, as they near the great headstone, they will be so much like him. Even they will be in his very image. That is different now, and it brings out a different and a clearer understanding than what Dr. Bill put in the churches. It amounts to the same thing, but with a variation. All right, that's a spoken word. As we know, that the scripture says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And he is also the headstone. The seven churches messenger was to restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. In other words, rebuild the church again under the power of the Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. Not by organization, not by denomination, but by the Holy Ghost. God will bring forth the church in the last days. That is on message of grace. Now, I hope you caught that. Brother Branham interpreting, turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers. He said to build the church again back to the power of the Spirit. That was the mission of William Branham. All right. Headstone. We are still dealing with headstone. All right. The pyramid is capped by the seven thunders. You remember the pyramid message? It's the capstone. What did it do? The Holy Spirit capped off the individuals and sealed it. When we added to our faith, righteousness, and godliness, and faith, and so forth, we kept adding to it till we got seven things, and the seventh one was love, which is God. That's how he makes the individual. He caps him and seals him with the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. Is this a sign of the time, sirs? All right. I was just inspired to speak them words and say that some gloriously that all of the gifts that's in the church will just be set aside on the mantle as it was. And the Holy Spirit himself will just take the church in such a control of divine love. Until the sick will be healed, the blind will see, the lame will walk without being hands laid on them. It will just be one great unity. Unquote. I gotta stop there. Then Jesus came and called, 1957. Beloved, Brother Branham said, he said, all these nine diverse gifts one day will be laid aside. We would not be performing signs and wonders by the nine diverse gifts. He says that that great perfect love is going to come into you. He says, and that will do the job.
Amen.
Don't you know that he's quoting 1 Corinthians 13? When that which is perfect is come, which is perfect love, then that which is in part, the gifts shall be done away with. The prophet is perfectly scriptural. He said, covet earnestly the best gift, and I show you a more excellent way. Charity. That is perfect love. So the healing will be done by divine love now, instead of those gifts that are now being operated outside of the body. We are sinking a little too deep here for this, but this is for our edification. Now you enjoying this? Oh my, I am enjoying it. Although I read it and read it and read it. Yes, sir. So now let me say this here. Now, Brother Branham made all these quotations concerning the pyramid. All through his messages, he always spoke about the pyramid. He taught us that the first Bible was the Zodiac. And then the second Bible was the pyramid. And Enoch, that went away in a rapture by himself, he was inspired to build the pyramid. He said, and then after that came the written word of God, which is the Bible. So now the prophet of God had that wisdom and understanding. So now Brother Branham decided one day by the Holy Spirit, he went into the woods and he said, Lord, I'm leaning on this tree today. What do you have? What do you have for me to feed your children? And then he said, something started coming to him. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. He said, he find the Spirit coming. Now, if you're a minister, you understand what that is. And the Holy Spirit come and just reveal that message to him. And he went back and preached a great message called The Stature of a Perfect Man. Now, listen to Brother Bruce, brother, here tonight. The Stature of a Perfect Man message. Let me read it here for you. The pyramid teaching, Stature of a Perfect Man, teaching of the prophet detail God's requirement for the final outpouring of the Spirit by typing it to the capstone or headstone. The seven virtues of Christ, his divine nature, must be in the individual before the capstone comes upon him. Hear this, friends. The prophet, by the message entitled Stature of a Perfect Man, outlined how the church and the individual souls should be prepared to enter into the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, which is the headstone. Brethren, I hope that you are comprehending. Now, on the subject of the headstone, the prophet of God, after he talked about a headstone, capstone, make all kinds of types throughout his messages, one day he decided to preach on the pyramid. Now, that message that God revealed to the prophet, he took it from 2 Peter, 2nd chapter. He found it in the Bible. And although he preached the outpouring of the Holy Ghost for all those years, the Lord now gave the prophet the plan and the program of God of how the people should prepare their hearts and mind and soul in order to receive the final outpouring of the Holy Ghost. That message here, friend, is how each one of us that is going in the rapture should prepare our souls. If Jesus had to have seven virtues, which is the divine nature of God, to have the Godhead in him, and the Godhead is coming to the church, wouldn't you have to have the same virtues? Amen. Come on, children. Amen. Wouldn't you have to have the same virtues? Amen. If Jesus had to be on earth for 30 years until he manifests all them seven virtues, and then the fullness of the Godhead came down in him at the banks of Jordan, and that same Godhead is going to come into the church, then you must have the seven virtues in you that was in Jesus Christ. Those, the divine nature of God in Jesus qualified him to have the fullness of the Godhead in him. Am I making sense, brethren?
That's great.
Now, that is the essence of that message. That is why we have it in almost all the churches. Yes, in the message.
Amen.
Although they don't regard it. Yes, sir. That's the plan of God. One time a man was trying to belittle me, and he overheard that I don't believe that anybody have the Holy Ghost, which is a lie. Yes. So he's boasting about how he has the Holy Ghost and different things. I say, what is the plan and program of God to receive the Holy Ghost? He stopped for a moment and he turned around to his friend. He said, what is the plan, boy? To receive the Holy Ghost. Huh? He said, I don't know. I said, then, you're a thief and a robber. And you come through the door somewhere. Because before you get this great Holy Ghost that we are talking about, you have to know the plan and the program.
Amen.
And if you don't know the plan and the program, then you have something else.
Amen.
Yes. There is a plan and program.
Amen.
Beloved, when Brother Branham preached that for perfect man, he laid down the plan and the program.
Amen.
Of how to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Which is the fullness of Pentecost.
Amen.
I tell you the truth, we have the Holy Ghost, children. That is what I preach with. That is what my brother we live by. That is what my brother we are living above sin by.
Amen.
But I tell you honestly from my heart here tonight, it cannot take you in the rapture.
Amen.
What you have cannot take you in the rapture.
Amen.
Believe me, dear, in Africa and in India and throughout the world, what you have now called the baptism of the Holy Ghost cannot carry you in the rapture.
Amen.
There is a final outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Which will qualify you for the rapture and bring the dead again from the grave.
Amen.
And you must come the way of the pyramid.
Amen.
You must come the way of God's plan and program. Yes, to receive that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So in 1962, Brother Branham found the problem why the people could not go back to Pentecost because they had not the plan and program, which was the divine nature of Christ. I am now going to quote his words to show you what is the plan and program to receive this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because the headstone is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. All right, so I'm quoting now from Stature of a Perfect Man. All right. Now you are coming. Next thing, then add charity, which is love. That's the capping stone one of these days in the church. This was preached in 1962. Now in the building, the virtue, building this monument, building this statue, it starts off on the foundation that's on faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Now what it do? Then they are waiting for the headstone, which is love, for God is love, and he controls, and he is the strength of every one of these things. Yes, sir. Right in here. See, I got in between all these works in here. And here, there was a little waves coming down, there a little waves coming. What is it? The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding this together, building a what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap it off. What is being done again is manifested throughout seven church ages and the seven church age messengers. Unquote. The prophet of God is saying that while you are being built up in the stature of a perfect man, he said the Holy Ghost is right in there. It takes the Holy Ghost to build you into faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness. We have the Holy Ghost. Is that right? He said, but as that is being built, you are being prepared now for charity,
amen,
which is perfect love,
yes,
which is the capstone.
Amen.
He said, that is going to come one day in the church. It's the same outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All right, I quote again. You're getting a little tired. Hold on. Yeah. Then Peter here says four, seven things. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, and then the love of God, the Holy Ghost. Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost comes upon you in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you got all these virtues sealed in you. Then God lives in a tabernacle called the building, the living tabernacle of the living God's dwelling place. My God. Brethren, the next name for this message is the living tabernacle of the living God's dwelling place. That is how Brother Branham calls this message. Yes. So now all this time, brothers and sisters, we did not have the plan how to build this tabernacle for God to live in. You know how much work they had to work on Solomon's temple for 40-something years before God entered that temple, brethren? They had to follow the plan that was given to Moses, and they could not make one mistake. Yes, and when the natural tabernacle was finished, and the priest came in there, he could not talk because the Lord entered. And the Lord passed through the congregation. My brother had a small house. My God, the Holy of Holies, which is the soul of man. And he came there, my brother, and indwelt the Holy of Holies. It takes a lot of preparation, my brother. Yes, sir. And the Lord prepared Jesus for 30 years. Yes, before he entered his tabernacle on the banks of Jordan. Yes, he was the world before. He was God before. But I am talking about, my brother, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right. You know, why I said that there are people in Africa who believe that Jesus was not born God. He only became God at the banks of Jordan. Lie of the devil. The Bible said he was born Emmanuel. Come on. And the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Yeah. All right. All right. When a man possesses these kinds of things, then the Holy Ghost comes upon him. No matter you might speak with tongues, you might impersonate any gift that God's got. You might do that, but until these virtues here go into you, you are still off the real true foundation of faith. But when these virtues grow in and you added that to that, then you are a living monument. You are a living moving idol. That is what we're waiting on. We want to become living moving idols of God. And the only way that is going to happen is by a final outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, and it is entitled, my brother, the capstone. It is entitled, my brother, the headstone. Amen. Yes, sir. It is the same fullness of the of Pentecost. Yes. Yes, it's not another article. It's not the Word of God. Yes, sir. It is, my brother, the dynamics that is coming to the world. Yes. Yes, the dynamics will be another refilling of the Holy Spirit, which we have used in a small measure, while the headstone is coming. The headstone is the Holy Ghost, sir. Yes, sir, the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost coming into the church one day. Yes, sir. All right. Now, that is the house that God dwells in. Not a building with a big bell on top of it. On a high steeple, but a body has thou prepared me. A body that can dwell in, God can walk in, God can see, God can talk in, God can walk in. Amen! That's not me now, that's Brother Branham now. Yeah. Living instrumentality of God. God walking on 2 feet in you. Glory! The footsteps of the righteous is ordered of God. God walking in you. Therefore, ye are written epistles, read and known of all men. And if the life that is in Christ be in you, you will bear the life that Christ bore. Amen. The stature of a perfect man. All these quotations, the stature of a perfect man, right down the line. All right. Let me shorten it up a little. You want me to shorten it? All right. Yes. Now feet, you become hands. Eh, you become us. But each age, God has placed these things into his church and patterned it by showing that each individual have these, possess these qualities. And this being, when it is completed, is the church of God going in the rapture. Yes. And this being, when completed, is the servant of God in the church of God that's going in the rapture. Glory. See what I mean? There you are. There is the full king. Unquote. Brother Branham said that when you put on the seven virtues and you get the headstone and you are a living tabernacle of the living God, that's the true church of God, and that's the thing that is going in the rapture. That's the thing that is going in the rapture. That's the body that is going in the rapture. I say boldly tonight, if the rapture will take place tonight, my brother, not a single human being on earth is prepared to go in the rapture. On the basis of this, my brother, show me a man with faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness. And show me a man with perfect love. Show me a man with a headstone. Show me a man that is a living image and a living idol. You cannot show me that. Amen. But I could tell you tonight, it's coming. Amen. It's on its way. And I could show you a people that is being prepared for it by the word of God. We might have our ups, we might have our downs. I might have to chastise you, I might have to call your name. But by the hook or the crook, we are going in. Yes. We are going in, gentlemen. Because we believe this promise. Oh, brethren, I want to shorten it up a little. Time is on me. Well, you must possess these seven virtues to get the capstone, which is the seal of God. Yes, and when you get the capstone, it puts you into the kingdom of God, which is the Holy Ghost. That's a highlight I give you only. Another highlight, my brother, the tabernacle of God. The virtue's got to be born into you, and then you become a living image when the headstone comes. All right, here we are. Now, I'll start the next thing here. Blasphemous name. Let us see what it says here. All right, highlight again. The Holy Spirit is not correctly taught. The Holy Spirit is not correctly taught. Right. It is like a motor car. And when you say plugs and points and all the... Let me read it for you. Brother Branham is sweet. Then the word come forth, manifests itself, each one of these beings, and make it completely being a tabernacle of the living God. Now I believe that the reason that there is so much confusion today about the Holy Spirit, confusion today, all in Africa and all in India and all in Philippines, why there was so much confusion today, yes, concerning the Holy Spirit, it is not correctly taught. We are correctly taught it, teaching about the Holy Ghost. That is why we could divide the terminology. I believe that the baptism is taught, and they just say the baptism. But then, like you say, automobile. I have got several mechanics in this church, and I don't know one thing about it. So if I make a mistake, brethren, remember, I am not a mechanic. A humble prophet. Yes. There has to be coils and plugs and points and valves and everything else that makes the automobile. And when you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is a lot that goes with that. There is a lot that goes with that. That's what he's saying here. See? Yeah. There is a lot that goes with that. And here is what I think that God is proving. The Holy Spirit is here. Amen. The Holy Spirit is here. But the fullness of Pentecost is not here. The capstone is not here. The fullness of the Godhead is not here. The mighty anointing is not here, but the Holy Ghost is here. Yes, sir. All right, I quote directly blasphemous names here, 1962. Now, these things, he absolutely must be in the Christian before the Holy Ghost ever seals them.
Absolutely! These virtues must be in the Christian before God seals them.
You fight over that. Before this comes down on top and makes a complete unit. Yes, sir. All right, closing your mouth. Let the musicians come. All right, the Holy Ghost seals the church. Yes, sir. Then the rapture comes. Yes, sir. Then the rapture comes. There we are, my brothers and sisters. That is only blasphemous names, and we only touched tonight the headstone. So you can see what is happening. Huh? All right, closing remarks. The saints are sleeping, waiting, waiting, waiting. Until this age, but soon the Holy Ghost being poured out from Christ will come and will seal up the church. Then the church will be raptured. It will be a complete unit of God, a bride for Christ, who will be the head of all things. You follow me now? You never follow him. They thought that what they had down in 1906 can carry them in the rapture. What they received in 1906 could carry nobody in the rapture.
Amen.
Yes, and Brother Branham said about that outpouring of 1906 on the Cape Cod leadership, he said you could have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour in your life and be lost and go to hell. Now, you know what he was talking about? He was talking about the article of 1906. You could get that outpouring in 1906 every hour of your life and be lost and go to hell. Yes, that is the tape called Leadership 1965. I quote again. And now, as in the individual, these virtues and things and knowledge and temperance is added to our faith, then when the capstone comes, the Holy Spirit cemented together. There is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why it is so short today. Yes, sir. That is it, my brothers and sisters. And the hour that we are living in, oh God, the world is falling apart. There hangs the hangers, bombs. There hang the things to just exactly. The church is ready. She is sealed in, ready to come. There will be a big outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir, to grab that church and take her into the skies.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
How many believe that?
Amen.
There will be a big outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To grab the church in the end time and take her into the skies. I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
Give us a song there.
Let your fire fall.
Let the fire fall.
Put up the idols.
Put up the idols of wood and stone.
Oh Lord, let your fire fall.
Lord, let your fire fall.
We come before you.
We come before you, Father.
We offer you our eyes.
We offer you
our hearts on your altar.
Fire,
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 fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, f
Of your people. Bless these words. Let it bring forth deliverance around the world. Go, Lord, anoint these words and send it forth into Africa, into India, and throughout the world. Let it bring deliverance. Oh, Lord, we beg and beseech you tonight, and we humbly thank you for the words of life, the anointing of the Spirit, the songs of Zion, the music, Lord, the attention of your people, and, Lord, all the blessings that flow from your throne tonight, we return the glory and the thanks and the honor unto your matchless name tonight. We commit your people with the word that was preached tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you. The Lord bless your hearts. The service is dismissed.